Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
The recording is in progress.
I gotta hand it to you, Steve. This is the first time I think we've in 10 years that we've been doing this that I've forgotten that we're recording today and you caught it.
Hey, I did it.
Yay.
I got one.
This is where
I slam the alarm bell and you come out in your jammies, your yeah. onesie. You does roll out make, of bed down the fire pole.
Does that make you, Janine, our proud bitch who don't take no shit?
That's right.
That's right.
Ghostbusters, what do you want?
Exactly. She didn't take shit from anybody. That's right. Especially not in 1985.
It's true. I love Janine.
Yeah, I always had a
crush on Janine.
I never had a crush on Janine, but I did appreciate who she was. I was like,
mostly from the cartoon. I had a crush on animated Janine.
You probably had a crush on a lot of animated women in your childhood. I would wager.
That's true, but surprisingly not all. Like, I never had a crush on April O'Neil. I love Ninja Turtles.
I think it was the yellow. Yellow is not a flattering color.
I think it's the yellow?
Yeah. So just keep that in mind. It's not it's not super flattering.
Yeah. It's gotta be the yellow.
I've had like the craziest fucking week. I'm on Christmas break for work, and you know that means essentially 2 weeks of doing nothing. Mm-hmm. But of course the karma and or fate would not allow it.
Yes.
So I had my oven and my refrigerator both needing repairs, which has been crazy. So my oven, I'm gonna do some dad talk right now, folks. Dad talk time. So the oven's fuel valve went out, and the problem with the fuel valve is that it was from a 1995 oven, and they don't make that part anymore. And the thing with afterparts for a 1995 fuel valve is the fact that there is a small gasket inside, and that gasket tends to fail over time. So any aftermarket part that you get is not going to work because they're all failing at the same rate, right? So what I had to do is I got to get a new oven. But the problem with getting a new oven in my house is that I have a wall oven, and a wall oven essentially goes into a large cabinet-like structure. Now, that's all fine and good, except for the fact that I got a gas wall oven, and they don't make gas wall ovens anymore. They only make electric. I don't know what it is. I blame the liberals. Anyway, so this gas oven that I got to get is like $3,000. Now, $3,000 for an oven is ridiculous when you can get a stand-up oven for less than $800. It's even better than the wall ovens. So what I got to do is I got to get a wall oven, and I got to get rid of my wall oven and put in a regular oven, which would be fine, except for the fact I got no place to put a regular oven. So I got to take apart an entire cabinet myself and replace what was in the wall cabinet with shelving. So that's what I've been doing all week.
I'm not high enough for this.
I am, apparently. I am.
That was good. That was good. That was a very good rant.
Yeah.
And welcome back to the podcast Midwest Home.
Midwest Home. It's like what was the old Bob Vila show? Prairie Home Companion. This Old House.
Yes, This Old House. I only, you know, it's funny because I did not remember. I only remembered it was Bob Vila. I was just like, yeah, it's Bob Vila. It was the Bob Vila show.
And here's a little behind the scenes on This Old House. People hated Bob Vila. Well, I shouldn't say people hated Bob Vila. The other people on the show hated Bob Vila.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Because This Old House was like a PBS show. It was designed around like helping people, and PBS is all about like helping people for free. And Bob Vila went out and like marketed himself as this, you know, commercials and product line and everything like that. So people got really pissed at him.
I see. Well, he's faded into obscurity now, so it doesn't matter.
I don't know. Has Bob Vila faded into obscurity?
I'd be willing to bet that right now, international listeners notwithstanding, there are people who have no idea who the fuck Bob Vila is.
I'll give you that, international listeners withstanding, because they have no idea.
Yeah, I mean, they have no idea who Bob Vila is. He's a fucking, he's a PBS guy.
Well, according to the interwebs, Bob Vila's net worth is $70 million. That's Paul Vila did well for himself.
That's unfortunate for us all.
And he's been married to the same woman since 1975. So good for him.
All right. Well, that's kind of it. That's pretty impressive. I'll get that.
I am. You know what? If I could have a life as good as Bob Vila's, I would die a happy man.
Well, I mean, it's too late for that now because I think you'd already need to be in syndicated PBS and living in like a half mansion by now, I believe. Half mansion.
So I think instead of This Old House, my show would be called This Fucking House.
Because
every time I talk to my wife now, I go, This Fucking House.
Love it.
Yeah. And so that's been my week has been like taking apart a cabinet and rebuilding the cabinetry. Inside the where the oven used to be.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily, we still have a stovetop that works, so we can, you know, fry ourselves up a delicious egg or two for dinner.
Finally, egg.
Egg. It's what egg. People... Egg.
Egg. You can eat it.
Game classy for the egg council. It is just like... egg. It's like, what's the slogan going to be? Eat egg.
I'm just going to throw it out again. I'm going to say egg. You can eat it. I like it.
I do appreciate that the egg is universal in most cultures, and most cultures can actually cook a decent egg.
That's true. Yeah, I found that most egg dishes are quite good, although I have not and probably will not ever bold a century egg.
No, I wouldn't do that either. That shit's gross.
Yeah,
What's the one where they have like an egg with like a live chicken in it?
Or I'll pass on that too. That's balut. That's a
balut. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll pass on that as well. We'll pass on the balut and we'll pass on the century egg.
Yeah, I'm not good at any of that stuff.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm okay with not having the century egg, and I generally like fermented food. Like I'm a fermented food enthusiast. Like I love natto, love me some kimchi, pickles, obviously, sauerkraut. I like anything.
Pickles aren't fermented though; they're pickled.
Well, I mean, isn't pickling a type of fermentation?
No.
No? Are you sure?
No. It's just the vinegar.
Sure. According to Google, it says the difference between pickling and fermentation is the process of how they achieve a sour flavor.
Yeah, exactly. It's a completely different process.
They're doing the same thing. Lactofermentation. Yeah. Lactofermentation right here. This is pickles. This is a pickle product made with lactofermentation or natural fermentation. I'm looking at a pickle thing right now. It's just these pickles are. Perhaps there are fermented and non-fermented pickles. I'm looking at a place called Real Pickles, and they're talking about their fermentation process. So
you don't look at that. You got to look at a Clausen pickle because it's got the snap.
It's got it's the snap. I see. It's the snap.
This podcast's getting derailed real fast. Real fast. And I blame myself because I am totally unprepared. I have cabinetry on the brain.
Mm.
So yeah, it's actually been kind of fun though, because I do need projects like this on occasion. Otherwise I'm just sitting here painting, you know, miniatures, and I can't, it's very non-productive.
Okay. I believe this is the, okay, here we are. Not all pickles are fermented, but all fermented foods are also pickles.
Yeah, there you go.
Generally, anything made of the brine. So like sauerkraut is both fermented and pickled. so there you go. We've now answered this burning question that I had.
Yes. So, keeping away from actually talking about gaming news, do you want to hear about the craziest theory I've heard this week?
Oh, I'm ready. I'm absolutely ready for insane conspiracy theories.
This is sort of a conspiracy theory, but I don't think there was any conspiracy. It's just like one of those like weird things that happened. Okay. So we all are pretty much aware Michael J. Fox, star of Back to the Future
and Teen Wolf. Teen Wolf.
Yeah. I was getting there. Has Parkinson's disease.
Yes.
Right? So he was on a show in the 1970s called Leo and Me. Have you heard of this theory yet?
I have not heard of this theory. No.
So Leo and Me was one of these Canadian, you know, TV shows, because he's a Canadian actor.
Mm-hmm.
And he ended up contracting Parkinson's, and so did three other people on the set of Leo and Me, right? Now, that's an insane statistical anomaly.
Huh.
Right? So there's a theory pointed in that's put out there that Parkinson's is a prion disease. So, you know, prion disease is?
Yeah, it's cannibalism.
Yeah, you get it from cannibalism, right?
Right.
So operating in Canada around the same time was Robert Picton, who was an insane, a very prolific, insane serial killer who would feed his victims to pigs.
Okay.
So the theory is posited that one of those pigs was slaughtered and sent to and was eaten by the cast of Leo and Me. And they that victim may have had Parkinson's.
Huh.
So Michael J. Fox may have gotten Parkinson's from a serial killer victim.
I'm looking at this up now. Well, apparently this was brought up to Michael J. Fox.
Was it really
on Howard Stern? And he says,
"Oh, that's crazy. I wouldn't do that to Michael J. Fox."
And he says, "Believe it or not, from a scientific point of view, it's not actually significant."
Well, you know what? I don't believe it. I want to believe in my crazy serial killer theory.
Yeah. So it says the incidence of Parkinson's is about 1 in 300, but 4 of the 125 people developed the disease. The Vancouver neurologist says it could be coincidence, but it is intriguing.
You can't say it like that. You got to say it correct. Vancouver.
Vancouver.
No. Vancouver.
Vancouver.
Yeah. You got to say like the coup. That's what you got to hit. You got to go to Vancouver.
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 It's like how you can't say Toronto. You have to say Toronto.
I say Toronto.
I say Toronto. Like how you're supposed to.
Nope. I say Toronto. I want to say it.
I can say Toronto like you say Tarantara from parts of Penzance.
Parts of Penzance.
Yes.
What? Never? No, never.
That's Pinafore.
Oh, whatever, dude. They're all the same.
Get your light operetta straight, sir.
They're all the same. Every one of them is the same.
Holy shit. We've officially gone off the rails for our last podcast of the year, which is fine because literally there is no gaming news whatsoever.
Yeah, the most recent stuff is really is really like half a month ago already, but it's Mantic's Ambush, I think they're calling it. Yeah, Ambush.
Ambush?
Ambush.
And so, what's that? May I ask? Because I'm
so older. Ambush is basically it is warbands like the old 6th edition fantasy warbands, but for Mantic.
Oh, okay. And you liked warbands. I
fucking love warbands.
I was never
favorite.
A huge fan of it. I mean, I played it and it was okay, but I was not like I was like a big like everyone must play warbands.
I was a huge warbands fan. I fucking loved warbands. I actually ran. The most successful campaign I've ever run personally or professionally was a Warbands campaign that lasted it was like a year and a half at the bunker. It was a fucking insane. And like the attrition was super low. Like normally, I mean, you know, like you know this, but our listeners may not, but like when you're running events at a store, running campaigns is really difficult because you have a lot of just attrition, people who lose interest or people who just stop playing, you know, whatever the various reasons that like,
or if someone plays a Luke Dagobah turtle deck, you can also have attrition.
There's a massive amount of attrition there.
Yes.
And force strain.
Thank you for that. That is an obscure reference right there. That's
I got you. Don't worry. I think in all told, I think we lost a total of like three players, but we ended up gaining like five. So we ended the campaign with more players than we started, even with players being lost. It was awesome. Everyone had a fucking great time. And then we ended it with that was cool because we had the last thing was like a kind of mini tournament where everyone brought their full armies, but they got to use their their skirt. What we did is we took their warband and their warband. We put them together on like one tray and like, okay, this is your warband unit. And we like made a special unit for everyone of their warband. So it had like their hero from the warband, their regiment. We just put them all together into one special unit that they got to put in their armies for free. So they all took 2,000 point armies plus their full warband for free, which is really, really cool. That was super fun. So anyway, that's immediately what I got reminded of when I saw this. And there, and of course, Mantic being Mantic, they're offering extremely low priced 6 starter sets for the warbands, which look like a great deal. They come with a little quick start rule, the ambush starter set instructions. And so like the ogre one, you get a block of goblins and 2 3 man blocks of ogres. The undead one looks like you get 10 cav and 20 skeleton archers.
So these are huge warbands.
That's the warband size. Like that's it. It's like that's so your war. So the skeletons are a horde, so they're gonna be big. So I mean, obviously, so they've got 20 skeletons, 10 cav, so 30 models. There's a halfling one. There's the Skaven. Or I'm sorry, Ratkin. Not Skaven. Ratkin. And then, Empire of not undead. Sorry, Empire of Dust. It's not the undead. It's their Tomb Kings.
Empire of Kirsten Dunst.
Yes, Empire of Kirsten Dunst. And then, of course, their I think third edition is the brand. Yeah, third edition is the brand new edition that just came out.
Yeah.
I don't mean I love Kings of War. I think Kings of War is a sweet game. I kind of wish more people played it.
I mean, it's pretty much like your go to for mass combat fantasy gaming.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to feel like if you want to play fantasy as it was, Mantic is probably the closest that you're going to get to a fairly balanced rule set.
Yeah,
that kind of pushes all the buttons in your brain that you need for sure. Chemicals.
And they finally, like with the most recent additions, they really fixed my issues with the game, which was just absolutely awful internal balance. The internal balance for that game just fucking sucked, and now it's much, much better. So that's good.
Yeah, I'm hoping that when they bring back Old World, it works out. But I think Mantic is hoping it doesn't, because anytime Games Workshop would put out a bad edition of Fantasy, Kings of War would do really well.
Well, here's the thing about that though. I think Kings, like to be honest with you, depending on how Ninth Edition plays out, I think that could be the biggest boom for Kings of War ever.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
it really could be. Like, could you like imagine how much? Like, so let's say they do the drop, and it's like, oh, it's a super premium, it's boutique priced miniatures game where we want you to buy, you know, 200 figures. Well, guess what I'm gonna do, Joe? I'm gonna play a Kings of War army for Old World.
Oh yeah. Oh, you're talking to just for minis. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think at this point, Games Workshop fucked themselves for not having a massed battles fantasy game. Mm. Which that basically did was it took away, because so all right, so this is not a conspiracy theory, but another theory as well. Mm. Is that Games Workshop, of course, switched over to Age of Sigmar, and their minis kind of became much more everything so that they could make everything more IP friendly. Like, yes. They wanted to be able to put a copyright on Gits as opposed to goblins, because you can't. Yes. You can't put a copyright on goblins.
Yes.
Or you know, any of that stuff. You can't trademark them.
You cannot trademark the word goblin.
Yes, but you could trademark the word Gloomspite. I don't know if you could trademark Gits, because that's a.
You cannot trademark Gits, but you can trademark Gits with a Z.
There you go. So in order to make a rules in order to make their game as marketable as possible and as trademarkable as possible, they lost that generic fantasy vibe.
Right.
So all of these other companies picked up the slack for people who wanted more generic monsters or more generic armies and things like that. So now you do have the ability to buy third party plastic dwarves or elves or anything like that.
Yeah. And with the Ratkin too, like that's funny I mentioned that in passing, but like the Ratkin army, if you dig the like sixth edition style of Skaven, I dare say the Mantic Ratkin army is better than Games Workshop.
Ooh, let me see this. I'm gonna doubt that, but I will take a look.
Keep in mind I did say sixth edition.
Yes. Yeah, those are probably better than 6th edition. They look very similar to the 8th edition. And even then, it's like, I think that they do look a little bit better. Mantic's, one of Mantic's big problems is that they don't have professional painters paint their shit for marketing purposes.
This is true.
So it like, you're like, oh, like this looks like something I could paint, which is a good thing. But on the other hand, it's not as sexy. It doesn't release the sexy chemical in your brain.
I guess, I mean, I don't know. I think I really like their paint jobs because they look like realistic army paint jobs.
Well, no, I agree with you. That's what I'm saying. But that's where you miss.
They should have some showcase stuff.
Exactly. They need stuff that people are like, oh, that's so sexy. I want to paint my army like that. And then they get kind of frustrated because they can't paint their army like that.
Yeah, I think that's actually that probably would be a really good, I wouldn't say whole, like a whole change, but I would say one of the thing that would be good for them is to actually put in a showcase, like section. Like a showcase section where like you have like the super high end paint jobs. Cause I mean, I think all their paint jobs are fine.
Oh, they're completely fine. You are correct on that.
You know, and they look like something that like, if I saw an army that looked like the average Mantic paint job, sit across from me at the table, I would be very pleased.
You're like, I am pleased.
Yeah. Well, no, really. I mean, I love when people have painted armies. Like, and it's one of my favorite things. I love talking to people about how they painted it. And like, I don't like, you know, I hate the like, oh, I just dry brushed this army. It's like, ugh, come on, bro. like you don't need to be an amazing painter to produce a really good looking army. Like you really don't. It's just, you know, just do a little bit. Okay. Just do a little.
just do a little bit. Just
like you want to do the slap chop. Okay, well here's how to do a good version of the slap chop. Go to Dana Howell YouTube and look at her improved slap chop version.
Good version of slap chop. There's no good version of slap chop.
It is a good version
there's
of slap
no
chop.
Good version of slap.
Because would you just do it? Listen to me. Don't listen to Joe because it's not the same thing. It's just under priming, but like done in a not stupid way. Yeah, well, because what she does is instead of starting from black and then dry brushing gray, then white, so you have like a ridiculous like contrast. She does the contrast base. So she does like a dark gray, and then she does the contrast. What is it? Zenithal, and then white zenithal, and then like here's how to use your washes to make it look good, and then when it's done, it's like, oh hey, it looks better than the dry brush up from black, and takes marginally more time.
Yeah. Just with me to paraphrase the great Laurence Olivier, why don't you just fucking paint your models?
Yeah, I mean,
instead of looking for all these techniques and everything else, just paint your models.
You should use zenithial priming.
You should just paint your models. Just get some paint, get a brush, and paint them. You only learn painting through practice. You don't learn it from a video. You don't learn
That's 100% true. Like, you can't, I don't know how any, I mean, I'm sure someone out there has, but like, I don't know, man. I've never been able to replicate any. Like, I can't replicate through instruction. Like, I just can't. Like, I've watched videos. I've had people tell me. I've, like, watched people do it. And, like, I've tried to replicate what they do. And I just can't do it.
Yeah, I always think with painting, the best thing to do is to sit there and try and paint, right, in front of a person who knows how to paint. Okay? Mm-hmm. That person can tell you what you're doing wrong.
Yes, that is very beneficial because they can say like, hey, this is too much paint. This is not enough paint.
Exactly. Or you get your arms weird. You're holding a brush weird.
Yeah, no, that is a very good point.
That's the best thing that you can have someone do is just give you a critique on your actual painting, not the product, but your painting.
Yes.
Like, that's the thing that people can give good results with.
Nice. And, yeah, no, that's good.
And if anybody would like me to critique their painting, I am free on Zoom. It costs $100 for an hour.
I'll do it for 10.
I will watch you paint, and then I will tell you how your painting is bad. Your process is bad.
I'll do it for 10, and I'll compliment you the entire time.
You have such pretty eyes. Has anyone told you that?
Yeah. Your bracing work is excellent here.
Your bracing work is excellent. I bet you have a firm grip.
Yeah, I bet you have a very firm grip.
Slap chop.
Yeah, no, I don't. Although I will say that the legit like black, gray, white, what the who's its contrast yeah. of your choice. It is absolutely phenomenal for board games. It's great for board games.
Yeah, but board game people are scum.
Well, I mean, board game people don't paint their models.
Board game people don't play their board games.
They collect them, they put them on their detolfs, and they take pictures for Reddit karma farming.
It's not the detolf. It's the what is that one called?
Isn't it the detolf?
No, I think the detolf is the glass case.
Oh, that's right. The detolf is the glass case. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, that's the cube one.
Yes, you know exactly.
Yeah,
I know what you're talking about
because I have one for my record collection. Yeah, it's
a cube.
Yeah, it is a cube.
It is a cube.
It's the Calyx. That's what it is.
The Calyx, yes. It's the Calyx shelf.
Yes.
Hello, I'm Werner Herzog, and welcome to my Calyx shelf where I show you these board games. Oh, wow, Werner. That's amazing. It's a huge collection. Which ones have you played? Played?
Stardate 2398. We are on the edge of the Calyx shelf. Ensign Steve has replicated many forms of cheese for us.
Captain, I'm detecting a approaching vessel from the Detolf section on my
sensors. It's a Detolf nebula.
It's a Detolf nebula on my sensors.
Yes. It's the Calyx shelf is what we're going to call it.
Oh, man. I fucking absolutely I lost my shit when they made sure that Spock in Stranger Worlds says sensors.
Sensors.
Ugh, I was so happy.
So you finally watched it, huh?
I have not finished it. I'm up to episode 5. It's so fucking good, dude. What the fuck? How is it so good?
What do you think I was telling you about?
Look, I expected it to be good. I expected it to be good, okay? But this level, I thought it would be good. I thought it was going to be a situation where it was good but or good for new Trek. it's just insanely good. Holy shit, it's good. And I was talking to you about it. I was like, "How's Kurtzman involved?" And you said he's just putting his name on it, which makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not 100% sure on that, but that's what I've heard, is that they're kind of pushing him out of the creative end,
which is good because he's awful.
Yeah, he's really terrible. But
yeah,
I think Strange New Worlds, and I finally finished Lower Decks, which I also like. I mean,
I like Lower Decks. I actually really liked it. By the end of Lower Decks season 3, it felt like a Star Trek show to me.
Yeah, I just, one of my things is I wish people didn't say it's canon. And I at this point in my life, I don't give a shit about canon anymore, because I think it's stupid. Just let people make up their own stories for the stories.
It doesn't matter. You can say whatever's canon. So this is the thing. It's really important. So not only is canon stupid, but there's a very important reason that you should just accept whatever canon you want as canon, because the companies that make this shit don't give a fuck.
Yeah, they don't care.
Single fuck? Look at DC. DC just rebooted their movies. They don't give a fuck about canon. You want Rock to be Black Adam forever? Your Rock is Black Adam forever. It doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah. No, I'm with you on that. I just find that Lower Decks, but the difference is with Star Trek is one of the first properties that really considered what is canon, what is not canon. People are really anal about that with Trek.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, more so than probably any other property that I know of.
Oh, that's because they're fucking huge nerds, and huge nerds get more ornery. The only other people who get more ornery about canon are religious people. And that's, because, I mean, they've got their own mythos and crossovers and stuff. But nerds are absolutely the most ridiculous, it's got to be any group that I can think of.
Well, yeah, but that's what I was saying. Trek nerds are really defensive about what is canon and what is not canon. And what's actually kind of fun is that once you're in, and it's very simple with Trek, is that if it appears on screen, it is canon.
It's canon.
Yeah. I believe that there is still some argument about whether or not the animated series is considered canon. I believe it is.
Animated series is considered canon. By the unofficial official rules of Star Trek, it's literally, if it was on the small screen or the silver screen, it's canon.
I like silver screen. I like that you said silver screen instead of the big screen.
Hey, I you know,
You still believe in the power of cinema, don't you?
I do. I'm just call me Scorsese. I hate Marvel movies and I like mob movies.
I do too. I like how anytime Quentin Tarantino or Scorsese get quotation mark roasted quotation mark for something that they say, they're getting roasted for something that they are absolutely 100% correct about.
For them just being objectively correct.
Yes. People just don't like to be told that what they're doing is wrong. And you know what? It's true. You are watching movies wrong.
You know what? Here's the thing for me. I finished what was the second Infinity War movie? Gambit or whatever?
And Endgame.
Endgame. I finished Endgame and Endgame brought my dalliance with the Marvel Cinematic Universe to a close. And you know what? It was very satisfying. I do not need any more Marvel movies. I have not watched a Marvel movie since, and I don't feel the need to.
I'm kind of with you on this one. I'm kind of with you.
Like,
I
I
kind of
mean,
wish I had stopped at that point too.
it was, I mean, it was like, because it really was like the ultimate climax, because it was the culmination of everything. Like, you know, I started it with Iron Man. And that really felt like the end for me. And I was happy with that. I was very satisfied with my experience.
Yeah, well, me too. I think it was perfect in what it was. And you know what? My daughter really likes it, so we keep watching them, but I'm kind of done with them. I was just talking about that the other day. It's like I watched Glass Onion and the
I
new
heard it was
Knives
quite
Up.
good. Yeah, I heard it was
I
quite good.
absolutely adore a closed door mystery movie and our locked room, not closed door, locked room. I adore a locked room mystery. And I was just like, I miss movies like this that are just good movies.
Hey, that's on my list. Well, Rian Johnson makes fantastic movies. I don't think Rian Johnson's made a bad one yet.
It's Ryan, Rian,
Whatever.
Rain. It's Rian, not Rain.
Like I said, whatever.
I think Rain. But anyway, yeah. Strange New Worlds, however, is just a fantastic show, and
It's so fucking
everybody
good.
should watch it.
It's so fucking good. Yeah, if you've never considered watching Star Trek before, or if you've never started with Star, it's an actually like ideal place to start watching Star Trek. Like just start watching Stranger Worlds. Make it your first Star Trek show. It's so fucking
Would
good.
you th have you gotten to Kirk yet?
No, I got to
No.
the Kirk fake out.
The Kirk fake out with his brother George?
Yes.
With his mustache?
Yes, with his mustache. I love that fucking Pike comments on it though. He's like, I like the mustache. He's like, yeah, you think so? You should grow one. I thought that was great.
Now let me ask you about this, because now that you're finally started with it, what do you think of Captain Daddy's hair?
It's great. I love his hair. I'm jealous of his hair.
I'm everywhere. That's fantastic.
It is fantastic hair.
I talked about my barber. Like, how could I achieve that? And he's like, you could do it. Like he said that I have the hair that could do that. He just says that I'd have to grow it out much longer than I normally like to grow it, and I'd have to use a shit ton of product in it. And he's like, I know you do use hair product, but you don't use that much hair product. So,
Right.
yeah, I'm not a big mousse guy. So, apparently, I'd have to use mousse.
Yeah, you definitely need to use them. You know, no one can get that kind of volume and lift out of nothing.
You know who can? Captain Daddy.
Oh, that's true. I shouldn't have said no one.
So how do you think he does his hair like every morning? Do you think that there's like some sort of like Star Trek helmet that comes down and just does his hair for him, like a la the Jetsons?
You know, that's a good question. Well, no, you know what? I bet you it's integrated into the sonic shower somehow.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like there's like a helmet that comes down and it's like preparing Captain Daddy hair
Yeah,
level one.
I don't know if it would be a helmet, but it's definitely a thing.
Oh, this is 60s Star Trek. It would be a helmet, sir.
Oh, that's true. That is true. You know, you've got a good point.
I also like the idea that early Trek, like I'm talking, the original series Trek, it kind of shows us that in the future, what is it, 200 years in the future, we're going back to the 60s in aesthetics. I'm excited about that.
Yes, it's good.
Mustaches are coming back in, people.
Yes.
There's so much that I do like about that show. I like Uhura. I like that they do a lot with Uhura not knowing if she wants to do Starfleet, but yet, and then people giving her shit about it. Like, it's
Yeah.
like,
Like, you don't know if you want to be here. What the fuck?
Yeah, well, it's like, I don't care if you don't want to be here, but there are people who want to be here and you're taking up their spot.
Right, exactly.
You know, this isn't just like, oh, I'm really good at what I do, so I might as well just do this. It's like, no, you have to care about Starfleet. And I love that. That's like something I absolutely adored.
It was super good. I also really like, as what I've said before, is like, I hate prequels because there are no stakes.
Yeah.
But the nice thing is about this is they've actually revealing to the future to Pike, like, immediately, where he's like, oh yeah,
I'm going to end up in the beep beep chair.
Yeah, this is going to happen to me. I'm going to the beep beep chair. Like, that is amazing, because that makes stakes appear, because he now has to navigate to get to the beep beep chair, because he knows what he needs to do, because he knows he has to save all those kids.
Yeah. And that's the great thing too. And it's like, the best thing in the world is it's not just like something small. He's like, he's got to save like a bunch of kids.
Yes, they're children. Like, he went to look because it's going to happen to him in 10 years. So he's like looking at the names of the people he's going to save. And like, there's just like little, there's just children. They're like actually like small child. Like,
it's
he's
so
like
great.
At it. Yeah, it's
so
really great. Good. And so like that was really, really good. And I really liked that they, you know, like I said, that creates the stakes. Cause like, he talks about like, he's talking, because he knows his future, he's talking to his first officer and he's like, am I going to make the right call? He's like, what if I make the wrong decision that won't lead me down this path to save these kids? He's like, I have to save them. It's great. So yeah. that immediately is like, oh, there are stakes. So there's actually stakes, because the character knows what they're supposed to do, instead of us being like, well, we know what happens to this guy. Like, now it's like, oh, well, maybe, you know, who knows? So I like that. I thought that was really good. I also like that they didn't use a lot of TOS characters. And the dude playing Spock is doing a great job.
Yeah, he's I want to say he's like the grandson of someone famous, or another Nepo baby.
Oh, I mean, that nepotism or not, he's doing a very good job.
Yeah, he does a decent Spock. I mean, like, I like his Spock. I also really like the Spock from the J.J. Abrams one. Zachary Quinto, I think, did a decent Spock.
Yeah, Zachary Quinto did a good Spock. Dude, those movies are so fucking uneven. I watched them again not too long ago. Like, obviously, the second one's trashed. Like,
yeah.
In the Darkness is just bad. But, like, I would actually say that one in the three is the best one. The third one is definitely the best one. But, like, they're uneven. And I think I figured it out, because those characters in those movies, what they did is they made the pop culture
they're the extremes of their personalities. They're flanderized.
Yes, they're the pop culture versions of the characters, with the sole exception of Bones, because fucking Carl Urban is just doing, he's just Bones.
Well, and also Bones was kind of, you know, he was that character in the original series.
It's true. He's dead, Jim.
You had your Vulcan mind.
Yeah, your green-blooded hobgoblin.
Your green-blooded hobgoblin, yes.
Oh man, that's so good. I'm watching the animated series now, which I'm so far liking more than TOS.
I told you the animated series is better than TOS, because the 30 minute plot point serves much better than the 45 minute.
Yeah, if it was animated better, it would definitely be a must watch.
Well, yeah,
I think at this point it's a must listen.
Yeah, it's like just like Lower Decks. Anyway,
yeah.
Right. I'm gonna break us, and then we're gonna come back, and then we can keep talking about Star Trek, because why not?
Yeah, let's do it.
No, and it makes me kind of sad for Picard and Discovery, because you watch Strange New Worlds and you're like, this is what they should have been.
Yes.
Maybe not Picard. I still think Picard should have been a very, very slow burn meditation on what it means to be trekking across the stars.
I still think that, like, I believe you and I came up with a Picard synopsis, which was Picard at his vineyard just reminiscing with the crew of the Enterprise.
Well, I actually came up with a decent idea for Picard that's a little more Trekky, right? And this was after doing a rewatch of the old Poirot series from PBS, Poirot.
Mm-hmm.
I would like the idea of Picard being retired, But yet, because he's got some sort of like, let's say he's an ambassador or he's some kind of like, I don't know, VIP. Like he does speaking engagements for Starfleet.
Okay.
Like he goes to ship, kind of talks with the crew, gives them pointers on good leadership, right?
Yeah, he's like a Starfleet, some sort of Starfleet instructor or something.
Yeah. Or he's like, but not an instructor. He's like a celebrity that goes around.
Right? A Starfleet talking head.
Yeah, he's a talking head. He does the tour circuit. But anyway, what it would be is him essentially going around, and when he goes to these ships, something happens, right? Mm-hmm. And whatever happens, like he's integral in helping solve the problem. Like usually it might be something diplomatic, or it could be something like a murder happens on the ship and he's got to help solve it, right? But each, like, there'll be six episodes. Each episode is like an hour and a half mini movie that kind of revolves around Picard troubleshooting whatever's going on. It showcases all of his talents. Like what the diplomatic issue is all about him using diplomacy to help save the day.
Okay, like, I like that.
Yeah, there could be an episode where it's like all of a sudden they get stuck in a minefield or whatever. And it's just like the Starfleet's doing their job, but they just can't figure it out. And it's up to Picard to help them get through there and, you know, make the crew the best that they are, inspiring them in some way.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. And I feel like that would be very Trekkie. Like it's because it's not just about like the pew pew. It's more of the bum, 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 bum.
Yes, we want that. That was the worst thing about Picard is there were some like brief, albeit very brief, like shining lights of like, oh, this is gonna be Star Trek, and it's like, nope, not really. We've tricked you. You've been fooled.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and like every episode of Picard, and this is how I figured out it would start off with. All right. It's Picard going into the ship, right? It's like, we're going to visit the USS, the USS, give me a name.
USS Gibraltar.
Gibraltar. We're going aboard the USS Gibraltar. Today, I'm going to be doing a talk with the leadership staff about the perils of traveling at Warp 8, right? Mm-hmm. And blah, 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 blah. And so every episode begins with him meeting like the captain of the ship, going to the ready room, and the captain of the ship will always say, "Can I get you anything to drink?" And he would say, you know, tea, Earl Grey, hot. Mm-hmm. He would get his Earl Grey and he'd be about to take a sip, and then the emergency would happen and he has to put the tea down. Like, he never gets to drink his tea.
He never gets to take a sip of his tea. There's always an emergency.
Then at the very end of the episode, he comes back and finds the teacup still there, right?
That's good.
Yeah. That's what I would say. So it'd be kind of like almost like a Columbo or Murder, She Wrote, where it's
just one more thing.
Just one more thing. I just got one more thing for you, man.
Just one more thing, yeah.
But it'd be great too, because then you could have like celebrities who love Star Trek, and you know there's a lot of them, could guest star on the show. Like,
yeah, that'd be cool. I dig it.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be Picard, but I think Picard would be a good one because Picard's got all those hits all those the buttons.
Yes.
You could do an archaeology episode. Because totally Picard loves
that. Yeah, and you could do that hot lady that he slept with on Risa.
She's probably not that hot anymore.
She's still pretty hot. Gates McFadden's still pretty hot.
Picard doesn't need no woman. Picard's one love is Starfleet.
Picard's one love, Riker.
It's Riker. His trombone.
His tromboner. Wah, wah, yeah. Wah, wah, wah.
And that'd be even a great episode, too, because you know how they're bringing back all the old crew for this new season? Is like he could go aboard the Titan as like the season finale. Like, how great would that be to have Picard on the Titan with Riker and Troy?
Yeah, that'd be badass.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's like, so I'll go put that down as my second Trek show. You know, we don't have to do it with Picard. We can get Janeway.
Okay. Yeah.
He's like a lesser Picard.
Yeah. Mulgrew can do it.
Kate Mulgrew can do it.
Mulgrew can do it. Yeah. I still got to see Prodigy. I've heard nothing but good things.
Yeah. I've heard really good things. I'm probably going to try watching it next week while I'm working on shelving. So
nice. Yeah. I had a stuffy nose this week, so I haven't been running, but I've been watching when I do my evening cardio, I watch Strange New Worlds. It's been very motivational while running.
You should watch, and you have to text me when you finish it, because the finale, I think, will not blow your mind, but you'll be really happy with the finale.
Okay, yeah, I'm
Yeah.
excited.
And I do like that. I do like Rebecca Romijn as the number one.
I knew she looked familiar. I couldn't figure out who it was. It was driving me crazy.
Yeah, it's not like you have the access to the internet where you could just look it up, but
I didn't. I sometimes don't actually like to do that.
yeah, no, it's Jerry O'Connell's wife, Rebecca Romijn.
Nice.
And Jerry O'Connell himself is a voice on Lower Decks.
That's true.
So
Oh,
there you
weird.
go.
Weird, wild stuff.
Really wild. Anyway, do we actually have any specific gaming stuff to talk about? Because I know.
I talked about Mantic. We've completed our obligatory we have to say something about gaming on this podcast.
And I will say that I'm really happy with the Discord. Is there any way that we could like how do you invite someone to a Discord? Like can we say like you look us up for the Game Classy Discord? Is there a way of doing that?
So we have to do new in the invites we have will expire every 7 days, but
Okay.
we can put a new one on the Facebook page whenever. If anyone wants to ask for them, like you can ask for them in the Discord. That also works.
Because I think that we've had more engagement with the Discord over the last 2 weeks than we've had on Facebook for like 10 years.
It's true. I mean, it's also a lot easier to like talk to people because
Yeah.
and you can add us. And also, I'm not on Twitter anymore, so like it's the only place you can really at me.
Oh, you're no longer on the Twitters.
No, I'm good. I'm done with Elon's folly.
I was gonna say, did Elon finally kick you off?
Well, I mean, a couple of
Tracking
my,
his bowel movements?
a few of my accounts did get banned for, I mean, let's just say very threatening posts. But yeah, so several of them got banned, but no, I deleted my main one. I just yeah, no, I'm done with it.
Good. But yes, we do. So we do have a Discord now. If you are listening to this, I'm going to try and put the Discord. We'll put the Discord invite on our Facebook page.
Yes.
I don't know if I could hook. I mean, I'll try and put a link in on the Podbean post, because that's where we host through. So if you get us through Podbean, you could look it up there. But the main place, just look it up on the Facebook page. That's probably going to be the easiest place to click on the link. And we do have a Discord. The Discord is actually, I think, like, we just have 20 people on there right now, but it's one of the more and it's the most engagement we've had in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, and if you want to show us cool models you've done or like a project you're working on, or if you just want to chit post at us, and also we've got the Ask Joe and Steve section.
Yes. For
Although,
example, let's go through some of these questions, Steve.
yeah, I'll say
What's
that's a content generator.
Content generation. What's the one model you wouldn't put in your butt?
Cetra, the Undying.
See, I was gonna go with the Archeon on the dragon.
Oh, that as well.
That one would be tough. It's the wings. Anything with the wings is gonna be tough on the anus.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Cetra doesn't have wings, but he has a lot of like bits that poke out.
Yes.
Next question, why are Civil War gamers almost always huge racists?
Because they're in the same type of personality type to be a massive racist is the same type of personality type who'd be super interested in Civil War gaming.
No, I don't think it's necessarily that. I think that there's the problem with historical gaming, as coming from a guy who does historical gaming, is that historical gamers tend to try and think that history is neutral. Like, it doesn't matter what people thought. We're talking about history. This is so long ago. It doesn't matter anymore. And they don't tend to think about the modern repercussions of that history. So, and the further back you go, the more, I don't want to say neutral, but the more, the less affected we feel by the history. So the Civil War, though it was almost 200 years ago at this point, 150 years ago at this point, may feel like a long time ago. It's the modern repercussions of it are still being felt. So if you can't acknowledge that, then you are probably a huge racist by
Fair enough.
default.
Yeah.
So that's a little bit of a theory. I know Steve's is a little quicker and pithier.
Yeah, but, I like mine.
But it's just it's the same people who play bolt action. It's like you're playing Germans, but you don't have to bring attention to the fact that you're playing Germans. And yeah, you should feel a little guilty about playing Germans. You don't have to like make atonement for it in some way, but you don't need to go around talking about how proud you are of your German army.
Yeah, no, I'm cool. I wouldn't do that. I'm good. That's another reason I don't like historical shit, because historical shit is like, I think it's kind of grotesque to like use real like historical atrocities as like backdrop for your game. I think it's kind of fucked up. Yeah. So yeah, it's not my vibe.
Tell that to White Wolf.
But yeah, I mean, that's a perfect example. Like, hey, don't use actual historical atrocities as a backdrop for your fucking game, okay?
Yeah, I mean, you go back to the origins of mini gaming, and it's all historical, though.
You're not wrong there, but the origins don't necessarily mean you have to carry them forever.
It's true as well. But I don't feel as bad playing, Vikings as I do playing Nazis. Let's just put it that way.
Fair. That's also fair. I mean, and yes, there is a certain amount of time where it's like, the distance. What is it? The distance of time just like ends it being relevant. Like obviously, like I feel World War II, Civil War, that stuff's too good. If you're talking about like, obviously the Romans committed atrocities as well, but yeah. Like if you're playing fucking ancient Romans, okay, like literally all of them are fucking dead, like for a very long time.
Yeah. I mean, like, let's be fair, most people who fought in World War II are dead at this point.
That's true. That's true. But not everyone who was alive during all of the horrible events is dead.
No. That is true as well. So yeah, it's like and time is a huge factor on that one. And it's one of those things that you have to like acknowledge. And the problem is like the person, the edgelord who's all like neutral and like, it's just history, man. It's like, yeah, it's just history, but you're walking around with a Nazi armband, man. Like, yeah, that's not exactly history at that point.
Yeah. That's why. Well, I am now, I'll always pass on historical gaming. That's yeah. That.
And, one of the listeners was, asking about the book that I was reading about Napoleon, and it wasn't a book, it's an audiobook. It's not an audiobook, it's a podcast called The Age of Napoleon Podcast. It's super dry, and the best part about it is it's like that type of dry podcast where the host thinks he's funny. So he's like, and then the French king said, the French queen said, let them eat cake. Like where he gets a kick out of his own dryness, and I love that.
That is pretty funny.
Yeah, it's literally like having that really good history professor in high school or college that's everyone else hates, but you love him just because he's just like really good at talking about history. So I like that as well.
Yes, that's good.
So yeah, but I did want to talk about the Discord because I think it's actually a pretty solid thing to do, and it's a good place to just post shit and get in contact with us if you do like us. Mm-hmm. We might have to set something up for Adepticon, because I think Adepticon registration is happening next weekend.
Oh,
yeah. So we're gonna have to. Well, maybe we'll set up something for Adepticon. I don't know if you're planning on going this year.
Probably not, but we'll see.
Yeah, you always say that. My only problem with that is that you literally live. You live closer to Adepticon than I live to Adepticon, and I only live like 15 minutes away from Adepticon.
Yeah, but I need a good reason to go.
No, you don't.
Sure, I do.
Like, what do you got to pay? You don't have to pay if you're not playing anything.
Yeah, but I mean, if I'm gonna go, I'm gonna go properly, you know.
You're just at this point, you're turning into Howard Hughes. You have tissue paper on your feet, tissue boxes on your feet, and you're collecting jars of urine.
Yeah, fucking yoked Howard Hughes.
Yoked. But anyway,
Howard Hughes, but lifting. Sure.
Well, what's the point if you don't go off and show it?
It's true.
You're just that meme at that point of like the muscle of the bodybuilder on the computer. Type it in like this is just stay solid, King.
I'm not complete yet.
You're not complete yet.
I'm not complete yet.
Sure. But let's talk a little bit about Games Workshop posted like their roadmaps for 2023 for their games. One that I did want to talk about is the Age of Sigmar one. So in the winter, so let's say until March of this year, they have three codexes coming out: Slaves of Darkness, Beasts of Chaos, and Gloomspite Gits. Those are all getting updated third edition rule books.
Yes.
And then in the summer, they got 5 books, 1 Order, 2 Chaos, and 2 Destruction books. And then in the summer, they only have 1 listed, which is an Order book. So they probably only really have mapped out to the end of the summer, which is, I think, when does third quarter end?
Oh, fuck, I don't know. I should know, but I
you
don't.
Would know better than I would.
Yeah, it's like, what's well, it's I always forget because there's that weird staggering. But yeah, that should be the end of third. That should be towards the end of third quarter.
Or is it fourth quarter? It's end of fourth quarter. End of the fiscal year.
Yeah, the end of the fiscal year is in like what, November?
Is it November? All right.
Yeah,
because usually November is when they are usually the summer is when they drop the big thing so that they can make up all their profits for hopefully November.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yes,
like they usually will drop it around like mid June and then they're hoping to make a couple like make some money off of it until the next quarter.
Yeah, because you want the maximum return at that time frame, because that makes you look the best, because you don't want to ever be down at the end of the fiscal year, obviously.
Yeah. And so they previewed a bunch of shit that they're going to be selling a couple new leader models. I think that they were previewing a new army that's coming out. I have no idea. Nothing makes sense anymore. I don't know. I look at these pictures and I'm like, it could be something. I don't know.
I know the order release though. It's going to be
Star Wars.
Star Wars. No, it's going to be Cities of Sigmar.
Oh yeah, that's right. They are planning on doing Cities of Sigmar.
Yeah, because
that would probably make sense with
they've been doing all the teasers. That the minis are going to look. I think the minis are going to look incredible. It looks they've only shown the bits for a lot of them now, but man, they look fucking dope. They look awesome. I think they're gonna that one warband that looks like a mix of like Age of Sigmar-esque plus old Warhammer Fantasy, that Witch Hunter warband.
Yeah,
I think that's the aesthetic they're going to bring to the entire faction of Cities of Sigmar, which is fucking sick.
Yeah. I think one of the interesting things now, you could call me an idiot, but
you're an idiot.
Yeah. Thank you. They didn't show anything about the big release this year. What's going to be the big release? Last year, it was the 30K box set. This year, it's either going to be a new edition of 40K, or I think they'll do Old World.
Old World would fit the timing.
It does, doesn't it? It seems like Old World is a natural fit for the big release this year for June.
Yeah, that seems to track.
Yeah, however, there's not been, I think, enough to kind of push it, so to speak.
Mm.
Like, so it's like there's no hype. Where's the hype, man? Where's the hype machine?
Well, if they're gonna do it in July, which would be probably be their big summer release. I could see that. Then they wouldn't start for a little bit, because there's going to be because they would need to start probably what, March? They probably start in March.
Yeah, I mean, even earlier. I think that you'll probably see it like the next big release is kind of going to give us an idea of what the big release is. The other thing that I thought was weird was with the 40K stuff, there wasn't a lot of discussion about like the upcoming releases for the year. Like they talk a lot about like Arcs of Omens, but no more of the army books. Mm-hmm. Right, which is to me is also showing like, okay, this edition of 40K is rounding down. There might be a new edition of 40K this year.
Mm-hmm. Oh, maybe.
So it's like that's my conspiracy brain. Like I'm definitely conspiracy brain.
Isn't this edition still pretty fucking new though?
But they're coming out with new editions like every 2 years at this point.
I guess that's true.
Yeah. Which is part of the reason why I will have nothing to do with 40K for a long, long time.
Yeah, the Codex churn is pretty big with 40K.
I will stick with 3 through 5. Like those will be the editions that I'll stick with. 3, 4, 5.
Mm.
Which I think are probably my era of 40K. That mid hammer.
Yeah, I liked third the most out of all the editions
of 40K.
Yeah, third was my favorite. It's weird. Maybe it's because it's the one I started with, but I technically started with second.
Yeah, Rogue Trader and second are Well, Rogue Trader is considered old hammer. Second is kind of borderline. I think a lot of people consider it old hammer at this point, but some people consider it mid hammer, middle hammer. Or as I like to call it, mid. The game is mid. I learned that from my daughter.
Good. I'm glad.
It's very mid.
I'm glad you're getting hip to the lingo.
I am getting hip to the lingo. Yeah, it's...
You know cringe?
I do know cringe.
Yeah. All right, good.
Yeah. But as I, you know, as I say, it's like the middle hammer stuff, I think, is kind of my favorite just in terms of aesthetic. And I think play value, I think it's very good. It's not the best, but it's solid. And I think that there's enough good codexes inside 3 through 5 that you can find something that works for you.
Yes.
Fifth is kind of, fifth is where it got a little boggy with like so much stuff getting released, but there's not much you could do about that. It just gives you a lot of bang for your buck when you get to fifth. There's not a lot of stuff in third, which is surprising. Like you play a third edition, you look at the third edition codexes, you're like, there's nothing in here. The only thing in the Space Marine codex is called Space Marine. That's like the only thing in there.
Yes.
So you're like, well, where's this plane or this tank? And I'm like, they don't exist at that point. You're like, holy shit, am I old?
Yes.
Which is, you know, the same thing for fantasy. Like fantasy is a little easier because I think we talked about this before, but first through fourth is old hammer, then fifth through eighth is technically considered middle hammer at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. Most people will consider middle hammer to be like fifth and sixth.
Yes, I'd say so. I'd agree with the fifth and sixth.
Yeah, even though those are two very different games, but
they are. Yeah, the fifth and sixth were massively different.
So, all right. So we're getting close to the end here, Steve. I did want to ask you. This is our last podcast. We are recording this on New Year's Eve.
It's true. It's New Year's Eve.
The eve of the new year, or as I like to call it, New Year's Steve.
Ooh.
What are your predictions for gaming for 2023?
Predictions for gaming for 2023. Shit, man. I don't know. I predict. I don't have anything exciting to predict, to be honest with you. I predict a whole lot of TCGs are going to die next year because there's like a massive glut of TCGs right now. And there's like more on the way. There's like just way too fucking many. So a bunch of TCGs are going to die next year. Okay. That's my big gaming prediction.
All right. Well, I probably should have texted you this earlier and given you some time to think about it, because I've been thinking about my New Year's predictions for 2023.
Yeah, hit me up.
So my first one is I think that D&D 1 is going to release with a massive push for internet usage for Dungeons and Dragons.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that it will do fairly well upon release. However, I believe that by the end of the next year, the online player will drop off significantly.
Mm.
I think people are going to go back to... not paper and pencil, so to speak, but I think people are going to mostly use like character sheets and like online dice rollers that maybe games and that Wizards puts out. Okay. As opposed to like that online battle arena thing that they're putting out.
Yeah, I think they're pushing.
Mainly because I believe that it will not be supported to the level it needs to be supported. So people will just not use it. Like on release, it's going to be so big, you're not even be able to get on the server. Servers will crash. Because okay. It's just not going to get the support that it needs.
No, I see it. I can see it.
Yeah. So I see like that part of D&D 1 kind of being a failure.
Okay. Yeah. No, I can see it.
However, I still see another year of Dungeons and Dragons being the number one RPG.
Oh, yeah.
No
question. It's not going anywhere. It's too big now.
However, I do see that after fifth goes away, I think that there will be another challenger. Generally, I've seen this. This is based upon predictions in the past or what we've seen happen in the past. Whenever a new edition of Dungeons and Dragons gets released, another game surprisingly does almost as well.
Mm-hmm.
So in second edition, which was like mid-80s, mid to late, you know, there was a bunch of stuff that popped up that people were playing. So you can't narrow one. With third edition, it was World of Darkness. Everyone played World of Darkness when third edition came out, right?
Yes. Yes.
Fourth edition, Pathfinder.
Yes.
Fifth edition is a bit of an anomaly, because there wasn't something that like really took from fifth, but I think there was enough people that were playing Pathfinder at the time that it was like you couldn't really come up with a new one that take on in fifth. And then people just realized that fifth was pretty good, so a lot of people just migrated back to fifth edition when Pathfinder second edition came out.
Yes.
So when this happens, there's probably going to be a game that may usurp D&D for a while, and it may overtake if D&D 1 is not as good as they hope it is.
Yes.
So that's another prediction that I have on that one. I think that we might actually start seeing a downturn in Magic the Gathering.
That's a rough one, because Magic is like there's Magic's in a weird spot right now because they're releasing too many products, no question. They're like they're flooding the market.
That's what I'm thinking. It's like looking at that, my prediction is that Magic is going to take a downturn.
But the problem is people are still buying it.
Yes.
What it is is right now they're in a situation where I would argue that they might not actually be releasing too much product. Too many products, but they are releasing too much product.
Too much product. Yeah, but
so
that's
like,
kind of...
Because everything still sells. Magic players still buy everything that comes out, but they're buying less of each set. So, because they're buying it for less time, because it takes the eye space less. So, there's a lot of nuance to it. Basically, like if they want, the long and short is if they want to keep this release schedule, they need to change the content of what they're doing. That's as simple as that. They just need to change the content. They need to make it because the sets are coming out too fast and furious. No one cares about standard anymore. So if the set's designed for standard, there's very little, like people aren't buying sets for standard. They're buying sets for commander or other formats. So if the set is not good in commander or other formats, oh, sure enough, it fucking flops.
Yeah. So there you go. So that's another prediction of mine. And I'm gonna say that next year you're gonna start seeing more 3D. This is a 3D printer one. You're gonna start seeing more games designed around 3D printing. And by that I mean you're gonna see Patreons that are designed around, this is our game, these are the rule sets for our game, these are the miniatures for our game. So when you subscribe to the Patreon or the Kickstarter, it's all one inclusive game based around the figures.
Mm.
So, and I think that might be a smart way of doing it. Titan Forge already kind of does that with Blood Fields, which is a fantastic minis. I apologize, but I've only like glanced at the rules and to see them, and they seem pretty decent. But I would say that your next big thing was going to be 3D printed releases through like a game, if that makes sense.
No, I could see that. I mean, if I could do 3D sculpting, I would love to fucking do a 3D printing game. It'd be great.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's no reason why a mini company, like a mini producing company like Titan Forge already does it, but I'm trying to think, like, Last Sword does really great stuff, right? Mm-hmm. There's no reason for them not to put out their own game with their own rule set on there that gets released with their minis, so that way you could print out the figures and play the game at the same time.
Yeah, no, that'd be sweet. I know, I would be super into doing something like that.
Yeah, so I'm gonna say that's gonna be like the next big thing is like, and 3D printing is gonna be this all inclusive Patreon that get like it's basically a mini game. Like, just imagine if Games Workshop, like when we worked there in the 2000s, you know how they would do like every month they would release like, okay, here's this month's army release, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you got your codex, you got your figures, you got all in one month, right? I would not be surprised if you see how companies started doing that. Like, here's our game. It's called Battlehammer and Battlehammer. These are the figures that you get for this month. This is the release. Here's the rule set for it. It costs you $15. You get everything that you need to play. You print out everything, and then boom, you have your unit.
It's the Fistula Fracas.
Fistula Fracas. There you go. Fistula?
Fistula. Yeah, an anal fistula.
Like an anal fistula? Yeah.
Like an anal fistula.
Fistula Fracas sounds like some sort of edgelord game that Adrian Smith would do artwork for.
I love it.
All right, Steve. So you could go to the Game Classy Facebook page, where you will find a link to the Game Classy Discord, which is a much better way of getting in contact with us.
Yes.
You can like, comment, subscribe on the iTunes. You can like, comment, subscribe on the Twitters. I'd have the YouTubes. I'll probably put it up on the YouTube as well. I don't know if you can do a link like that on the iTunes. I'll check, but I'll definitely put it up on the Facebook page, and I'll put it up on the YouTube page. It'll only be good for a week, so you know, whatever have you.
Yeah, we could just put one up each time we do a cast.
Yeah, I'll have to figure out because I don't think I actually have what's it called? What's the word I'm looking for? Admin. I don't have admin.
Oh, admin privileges. I'll find you and I'll add those.
So I'm not Steve on there, so if you.
I'll find you and I'll put admin rights in there so you can do it. Yeah, because you want to make sure you never want to have an always open invitation thing.
Yeah, no, you don't.
Because that just leads to like bots like creeping in no matter what. So you only have it set up so you just have a one that expires.
They're robots in disguise.
Yes, and obviously, and everyone, if you're on the Discord and you're newer to Discord, you did not win a free year of Discord Prime or Nitro or whatever. You did not win anything. Just don't click on links. Don't click on links, please. They're not real. They're
unless it's like for
your credit card information.
Unless that link takes you to Street Sharks porn, and then I would say click
it. That's the realest link of all.
That's the realest link of them all.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to get swindled out of some money, you could just send some my way. You want to send me your credit card information? Like, I will happily swindle you.
All right. If you want to, outside of that, if you want to get in contact with me, you could follow me on Instagram. I'm at Game Classy Joe. That's right. I post most of my stuff, but you'll be able to see it for I usually put it on the Discord as well if I'm painting something. And I think people are finally seeing like, wow, Joe does have a lot of output when it comes to painting. I've been told that I have too much output. So
when I'm in the groove, I fucking like churn out models, but man, I still have that burnout left over.
Sure.
But yeah, no, when I'm in the groove, man, though, it's just, they fucking, I'm like, oh, I'm finished. I can't believe I painted all these models so fast.
And Steve is no longer on the Twitter. Thank you, Elon Musk.
Yes. I'm no longer enduring Elon's folly.
I was just looking at Twitter right now, and Strange New Worlds is trending. Ooh. So I'm wondering if we're hearing, if it's hearing me talk.
It may be.
So anyway, wait, what the fuck? What the fuck?
This is breaking news.
I don't know. Is Carol Kane going to be on Strange New Worlds?
Who the fuck is Carol Kane?
The best thing that I can remember her from is on, well, she's the grandmama in Adam's Family Values, and she's also one of the Miracle Max's wife on Princess Bride.
Okay.
Yes, I'm gonna see real quick before we go. She is gonna be on Strange New Worlds playing Palea.
Cool.
I don't know who Palea is.
Neither do I.
So she is not a legacy character unless cool. She's from like some obscure episode.
Oh yeah, or an animated series episode.
It could very well be. Wait, let's see. I mean, no one's listening to this point. They're like, oh, they're just babbling about Star Trek again.
It's not a Star Trek cast.
This is not a Star Trek cast.
Yeah, but it really should be.
I won't say who she's playing because it would spoil something for you. So don't look it up.
Ooh, okay. Very good. I will not.
Yeah. You know, let's just say she's not playing Bones.
Very good.
Yeah. I do like Mbenga. I love the fact that they have Mbenga.
Oh, Mbenga's sweet. Mbenga's awesome.
And he's a great legacy character too. Kind of not like an obscure one, but yeah. The only thing that I wonder about it is that like Mbenga is no longer chief medical officer on the Enterprise, but he is a medical officer on the Enterprise. So I'm wondering if he gets demoted when Bones comes on.
Mm.
I wonder if there'll be some sort of thing when Bones comes on.
Just
how that goes.
Bones.
Because how does it work in Starfleet? Like, I know when a captain comes on, they could bring on a new first officer, right? If they want, they could bring, like, an officer can bring on crew members if they want.
Yes. Yes.
But it's like,
correct.
Like, how does it work? So, like, okay, let's say Kirk takes over on the Enterprise and he brings Bones along with him. Can he say, like, okay, Bones, you're now my chief medical officer and you supplant Mbenga? Or is that just...
Yeah, I mean, you could. You're the captain, so you can choose your staff however you want.
I it's weird to me. Like, I would say, like, I don't know. I don't fucking know.
No, that's a good point. I don't know either. I'm not actually sure what the rules are. There's got to be something there, though.
So, like, in education, if you're an administrator, like a principal, you can bring on anybody, you know, if you have openings for them. And, like, you could rearrange your staff however you want. However, if there's someone there who's already in that slot, they can't be supplanted.
Yeah, I suppose if you're the new captain, there's probably, like, very specific rules. It's probably, like, you can do a new position here as long as you have Starfleet authorization or whatever. Because, like, you got to figure, because Starfleet is a meritocracy. If anyone has a problem with them being, like, essentially demoted, they could just, you know, leave. They could just be like, all right, well, I'm going to leave the ship. And, like, they wouldn't be stopped from leaving. So maybe that's why you'd get a little bit more leeway with that as a captain in Starfleet. But I honestly don't know. I'm not sure what the rules are.
Yeah, I would love to have I just want to see who Bones is going to be. I want to make sure my Bones is good.
Yeah, it's going to be a hard role to fill. Like, cause, I mean, you got thus far, the two people who played Bones have both been very good.
Yes. Well, I mean, the first one, we won't say it's very good. He's just defined who Bones is.
Yes, he is Bones.
He is Bones. All right. So I'm running out of time. So Steve, until next year.
Happy New Year, you green blooded hobgoblins.
Later.
Later.
Game Classy.